Chapter 23. The clouds were a mix of meringue orange and dark lavender, as they continued to billow in huge seafaring plumes across the sky. From up in the crow's nest, the vista where ocean met sky was breathtaking, but it almost didn't compare to the pale beauty perched precariously on the ledge, with her bare feet dangling over the side. "Do you see land?" I intoned in a deep voice so I wouldn't startle her. And even though I figured she was someone who was hard to startle, I still didn't want to take that chance.
"A heavy mist from the east is blocking my view,"
Amaya said and smiled at me over her shoulder.
"Do you see the endless dawn?"
I sauntered closer until I was standing close enough to smell her pleasing scent of warm meadows after summer rain. "Why is it endless?" I asked. And I followed one of her lithe fingers as she pointed to the ominous churning hurricane on the eastern side of the ship.
"There are many legends,"
the Oryx woman said, and then twirled her finger around one of her silky curls of flaxen hair.
"But my favorite one is the legend that talks about the storm being the scar left over from the demon tide."
"So is the demon tide, I've heard a lot about it, but all I know is it's bad," I said, and then hitched a hip against the ledge so I could face her and still look out at the raging tempest.
"How bad?"
she asked, and gazed up at me through her silver eyelashes. "Like extinction-level bad," I said.
"You'd be right,"
the Oryx woman went on.
"Picture a wall of water taller than any tree in the Yule Forest, and with it a horde of demons from scourgemites to behemoths."
"Oh, goddess," I said, as I did just that, and the image my mind conjured was a hellish combination of something out of Zombie Tidal Wave and Sharknado, only with demons.
"Whatever it is you're thinking is probably a gross exaggeration, or scarily accurate going by your expression,"
Amaya observed as a playful grin flirted around the corners of her lips. "You want to see for yourself?" I moved closer and offered my cheek. She traced my face with her moonlit gaze, and we were so close I could actually see a smattering of the palest freckles on her oval face.
"I always want to know what's going on inside your head,"
she whispered, and brought her hand up to cup my jaw. Her gray eyes shimmered as I thought about the image, and I grinned when she let out a jubilant laugh.
"I rescind my previous statement. I don't actually know if what you imagined is accurate or exaggerated after all. Your imagination is like an amusement ride."
"I'm happy to entertain," I said, and reached into my pocket for the signet ring. "I better ask you about this before you distract me."
"Oh, yes. The sun is at her zenith. We must not tarry."
Amaya blushed a pretty rose pink and turned so she could climb back into the crow's nest properly. Then she held out her hand and let me drop the ring into her palm.
"I'm assuming you talked to my sister?"
"Yeah, I just saw her and Horus," I said. "They're going to check the Regent's quarters because it's the only stone left unturned, so to speak. Basically, we've got another case of a crazy overlord."
"Good thing we will be arriving this evening,"
the Augur woman said as she cupped the ring.
"I know being on the ocean too long can also wreak havoc."
"You're telling me," I muttered, and watched her sigh and close her eyes.
"Rylan,"
she breathed as she seemed to settle into herself.
"How is he?"
"I talked to him," I told her. "He'll be all right."
"Good,"
she said and frowned in concentration. Then, with her eyes still closed, she twisted the face of the signet until the concealed blade shot up from the mechanism. There was still some dried blood on the fine edge from where Rylan had maimed the Dino Man, and Amaya pricked her thumb on the point in order to add her own blood to whatever was left. For a moment, the sun broke through the clouds and poured down over us, and the Oryx woman took a deep breath before she opened her now shining silver eyes.
"The Regent is worried,"
she started, and her voice took on an echoey quality to it as if her vocal cords were split in two.
"He spends his days looking over one shoulder because he feels his time is dwindling. The words from the last Augur still haunt him, and he feels the end encroaching ever closer. He's haunted by Avantor's beckoning. Oh!"
I caught the momentarily woozy Augur woman as her eyes flickered back to normal. "Are you okay?" I asked, as I supported her when her knees went weak.
I'm okay,
she said, and then stood upright of her own volition.
The rush of knowledge is stronger because we are still on water. It is like a faucet on full blast or nothing at all.
Sounds kind of painful, I commented, as I moved some of the hair out of her eyes.
It can be overwhelming, yes,
she said.
There is a lot that comes through because of his blood. I need to try again because there's something familiar about Rylan, but there's too much interference.
Well, what are you doing? I asked, as she climbed up on the ledge of the crow's nest and stood practically on her tiptoes.
Trying to get closer to the sun,
she said, as if she was just adjusting a pair of rabbit ears instead of dangling precariously above a speeding ship. Okay, well, at least let me help you so you don't fall, I muttered, and I braced her so the backs of her knees were against one of my shoulders while my arm was wrapped around her shins.
Hold on. I'm going to try again,
Amaya said as she clutched the ring to her chest and closed her eyes. It turned out it was a good thing I was here because she suddenly gasped and arched backwards. Ames? I asked, and she shook briefly when I lowered her back into the crow's nest.
It's hard to hear clearly,
she panted as her eyes faded back to their normal color.
The Regent's mind is so distorted, and the blood on the ring is mostly faded. The only thing I'm able to get is the name Kavo Alda.
Alda? I questioned.
Sound familiar?
She asked. I heard those mercenaries say something about that guy, I said. All I know is that he's a clan chief.
I'm sorry. I thought I might be able to glean more,
she sighed, and handed the ring back to me. That's okay, I said, as I put it back in my pocket and then leaned my forearms on the ledge of the crow's nest. It's just more paranoia from an Asher who's gone crazy.
So what do we do now?
The Oryx woman wondered as she leaned back against the ledge so she could face me. Surprisingly, between Siskern, Horus, the captain, and your sister, I think we have everything handled, I said, as I took a tally of everything I knew. Basically, I think Siskorn needs some help, and I think we just have to help Siskern get him home where the appropriate people can take care of him.
Oh, not too much longer then,
she said.
Whatever shall we do until then?
My eyes locked fast with hers, and a frisson of heat sizzled between us for a hot and heavy moment before she casually glanced away and then mirrored my posture. I straightened up so I could move in behind her like I did when I first came across her, only this time she was actually inside the nest, and I was able to feel the full length of her warm body along mine. I might be able to think of one or two things, I murmured, and leaned in closer like I was magnetized. Especially to the curls of hair at the nape of her slender neck. The reins on my self-control slipped, and I pressed my nose to her hairline where her grassy scent was the strongest. She smelled wild and free, like the rambling winds over rolling green hills.
Oh, Alex, you make me tingle all over.
The Oryx woman shuddered and leaned her head back slightly so she was resting against my left peck. Me too, I husked out in a voice roughened with slow, burning arousal. I feel like it's more and more difficult not to touch you every time we meet.
And then, every time we part, I feel your absence like a bruise,
she whispered, and I nodded at how accurate that description was. There was a singular beat in which the two of us stood poised in front of a crossroads. I knew deep down this was the moment when I would forever be changed by her. But even with that in mind, the decision was easy in the end. And the decision was apparently mutual for both of us, because we simultaneously came together as one, in a clash of mouths and bodies.
Yes,
Amaya moaned, as I whirled her around and pushed her up against the mast.
Oh, it's been a while for me.
What are we allowed to? My words trailed off as I got distracted with the feel of her small breasts cupped perfectly in my hands. Everything about her felt amazing, but I didn't know if this was an all-you-can-eat buffet sort of deal or not.
For now?
She purred as she licked a scorching stripe behind my ear.
Almost everything.
I can work with that, I rumbled, and caressed my thumbs over the hard nubs of her nipples poking against her red dress.
I bet. Oh, I bet you can.
The beautiful Lorax woman spasmed again and threw her head back when I tweaked her breasts, and I could feel my cock stiffen at the sight of her lustful abandon. Fuck. Oh, I know what you mean about those tingles, I said when she plunged both hands into my hair and tugged. An instant feedback loop of her pleasure suffused my every fiber, and I pressed my erection into the crease of her hip involuntarily.
Oh, there is so much I want to teach you about a woman's body,
she moaned, and her hands flowed down from my hair to clutch at my back, my ass, and then came around to untie the laces at the front of my pants. I thought because you are part of the Order, ugh. I groaned at the feeling of her hot hand wrapping around my cock.
You thought we were all uneducated in the ways of pleasure?
She asked, and then freed me from the confines of my trousers so she had a better angle to stroke me. It's how it works where I'm from. Shit, I hissed when she twisted her wrist just right and caused my hips to judder.
The Order is mostly women who must pledge a life to the goddess, but nowhere does it talk of celibacy.
Amaya went on to say while she guided one of my hands up under her dress.
Experimentation between the acolytes was considered common and healthy to engage in for physical as well as emotional well-being.
You experimented sexually at your all-girls boarding school? I stopped what I was doing for a second to marvel at how incredibly freaking hot that was.
Problem?
The Oryx woman asked with her heated bedroom gaze. Oh, none whatsoever, I growled, and I slid my hand higher so I could move aside her underwear and reach my prize.
Oh!
Her head thumped back against the mast far enough that her silver horns managed to graze the wood.
Maybe there's less I need to teach you than I thought.
I chuckled into the side of her neck and then groaned when she started up her stroking again. My fingers quested deeper between the wet lips of her pussy, and I circled my thumb around what I could feel was the hood of her shy clitoris. That's it, I encouraged, when she threw one of her legs up and over my hip as I flirted with her entrance with the tip of my middle finger.
Ah, Foster, my love,
she groaned, and she paused her stroking so she could massage the underpart of my cockhead with her soft thumb. The feeling was electric. Fuck, I barked out, and then I wormed my finger inside her tight channel. Amaya squealed as she clenched down.
Come with me, together.
The auger woman then increased the pace with the hand tight around me while she cupped my face with the other. The feedback loop that snapped in place was so strong, my climax almost hurt in its intensity when it finally ripped out of me. Distantly, I could hear the sound of Amaya crying out, and I could feel the sensation of her inner walls rippling and spasming around my finger every time my thumb circled around her engorged clit.
Oh! Oh! My love!
She gasped and let go of me to grab my wrist when things got too sensitive, and I stopped all movement so she could catch her breath. That was intense, I chuckled, and gently lowered her leg back to the floor. Goddess, you're hot.
You are quite good with your hands,
the Oryx woman said, and she examined a bit of my cum on her hand before she licked it off with a sultry look on her flushed face.
Now, let me clean you up.
What? Oh! I moaned when she slipped into a crouch between my legs and started to lick my dripping cock clean. So freaking hot. Somehow, we both ended up cuddling in a heap at the bottom of the crow's nest as the clouds rapidly shifted overhead. The beautiful Oryx woman was lounging in my arms as we both stared up at the sky, and I kept trailing my fingers over the faint pulse in her carotid. Can we do this again? I finally asked, as I moved on to tracing the dip of her clavicle with my fingers.
I would like that very much,
Amaya whispered and turned her face toward me.
I do have to be discreet, though.
I understand, I murmured and kissed her forehead. Just then, a splash of water landed on my forehead and I chuckled. Tut, tut, looks like rain, I joked, and held my palm up to catch more of the scattered droplets.
I love the rain,
the Oryx woman said with a cute little yawn and snuggled closer. But a moment later, she tensed and sat up.
Wait, it is not supposed to be raining, unless...
Amaya abruptly scrambled to her feet, and the sudden 180-degree turn in her demeanor had me following on her heels. What is it, Ames? I asked, as she gripped the ledge of the crow's nest with white knuckles.
Something is wrong,
she said, and wiped the raindrops out of her eyes.
We've gone too far east, and are now in the path of the storm.
Are you sure? I asked, as I eyed how the storm had looked to be off a ways to our right. Well, maybe it just looks close.
Maybe.
The auger woman trailed off and walked over to the mast again.
But something feels off.
She then placed both palms on the thick beam of wood connected to the whole ship, and I watched anxiously as her eyes flashed nearly opaque with milky whiteness. Amaya? I questioned after a tense moment. The clouds were starting to darken even more now, and the raindrops were becoming the fat and heavy type.
Something's wrong,
she repeated, as her nails clawed at the wooden mast.
The crew, they are divided about the regent. Siskon has angered many of them since he arrived on board.
Really? I snarked as I recalled all of his low-key racist bullshit remarks since meeting the man. I can't imagine why.
Oh!
The pale Oryx woman grew even paler, and I had to rush to her side when she started to sway.
They are angry and have attempted to steal Siskon's most valuable...
Fuck, his coin chest, I muttered to myself, and went to go climb down.
Where are you going?
Amaya interrogated. I know what the crew wants, I said. The silver coins he was raving about for the whole ship to hear last night. Before I could start down the rigging, someone on the deck below screamed, and Amaya and I ducked down in the crow's nest. What was that? I asked, and the Oryx woman looked just as confused as I felt.
I don't know,
she hissed.
Let's get a better look.
We then both crept up to the ledge and peeked over to get a glimpse of the action below.
Oh, no, please!
A deckhand was screaming as they tried to reason with the violently rampaging dino man who had just exploded up from below deck.
You thought you could have my silver, didn't you?
Siskorn bellowed to the sky, and Amaya and I both watched him break the man's spine like it was a twig.
Dahl, where are you, if that's your real name? I know this is your blasphemous trickery.
Did he just yell out Dahl? I asked, and my heart skipped several beats.
That is Rylan he's referring to, correct?
The Oryx woman clarified. I have to get down there, I growled, and jumped to my feet only to be dragged down again by Amaya.
We have to think this through,
she pointed out.
You didn't exactly come up here with all your armor on.
I need a weapon, I said instead.
There is a boat hook at the base of the mast all deckhands use to move the rigging they can't reach,
Amaya said. Well, that'll do, I muttered. But I was prevented from getting up again.
Let me check the soaring light one more time to see if she'll tell me anything,
the Oryx woman said, and I forced myself to be patient, even though every second spent up here was another Siskorn spent tearing apart the ship in his delusions. Hurry, I urged, as the rain and wind started to pick up. Amaya's eyes glowed once more, and she concentrated on her touch power harder than I'd ever seen her. Finally, she looked up with her normal eye color.
The ship is a stubborn one.
She shook her head from any remaining haze and started in on her report.
Regent has gone from paranoid to psychotic when he discovered his chest missing. There's a full-scale mutiny underway, run by Mr. Cairns, who was the only one who orchestrated the whole thing.
Is everyone all right? I asked.
Cairns has locked everyone who is not loyal to the mutiny in the brig. Or at least he tried to,
she explained.
Siskorn was a bit too much to handle.
We need to get them out, I told her, and swiped away the bangs now plastered to my head due to the heavy rain. And we need to steer this ship away from the storm.
Dahl, come out, wherever you are!
Asher Siskorn's voice roared through the whipping wind.
You must go find Rylan,
the Oryx woman said.
Leave the brig to me.
But how do we get down without him seeing us? I questioned, as we spied the dino man stomping in a circle around the quarterdeck.
Oh!
Amaya gasped, and she snapped her head up to look at the wind vane perched like a leather sock on the very top of the mast.
Gilfy!
The leather windsock suddenly melted, and the flying lizard glided down to land in the crow's nest between us.
Meep!
She chirped, and flicked her blue paintbrush tongue out to Amaya's hand.
Good girl!
The auger woman giggled, and patted the creature on the head. Gelf, Rylan is in trouble. I decided to take a chance in this thing's sentience and cut right to the chase. The creature's eyes widened, and a small growl was heard from the back of her throat, which I took was a good sign that she understood.
That's right, girl,
Amaya went on.
We need to get down there without the man seeing us. Can you help?
She growled again and then launched herself out the crow's nest. The Oryx woman and I hurried to peek over the ledge again, and we were just in time to see Gelf chew through a piece of rope holding the giant fishing net up in the rigging for safekeeping. This net just so happened to be hanging right above Siskorn's head, and when the line finally snapped, the whole thing tumbled down and trapped him, at least temporarily.
Gah!
The dino man bellowed in fury as he struggled under the net. "We gotta go," I said, and the two of us hurried our way down the mast via several rope ladders. At the base of the mast, Amaya tossed me a long stick with a wicked hook at the end of it.
"Boat hook,"
she said. "What about you?" I asked.
"I have my dagger,"
she said, and pulled her knife from the holster on her thigh.
"Find Rylan and get him below deck if you can."
"Be safe," I told her, and after the two of us kissed, we went our separate ways.
Gah-rah!
The dino man roared again, and I went the opposite way from the sound.
"Rylan!"
I called out when I got to the side of the ship where I left him last. But when I couldn't find him, an icy panic filled my gut worse than the icy rainwater.
"Shit, Rylan! Dad!"
A distant voice called back, and I spied a pale face peering out from under one of the lifeboat tarps. Thank fuck. "Come on, we have to get you safe with the others," I said, and helped the traumatized kid out of the boat.
"I didn't do anything, I promise,"
he babbled as we hurried toward the stairs that led below deck. "I know, it's not you," I said.
"Rawr! Dull!"
The enraged regent sounded like he broke free of his bonds, and I knew we had to pick up the pace.
"Go, go, go! To the bow, go!"
I ordered as we heard more tearing and snapping sounds. But before we could reach the stairwell, the dino man smashed through a pile of tools and equipment.
"Ah!"
Rylan screamed, as Siskorn's jaws snapped inches from him, and he fell backwards into me.
"To the stern!"
I yelled, as I bodily hauled him around in front of me and whacked Siskorn across the face with the boat hook for good measure. The man roared again, but I didn't stick around to see his no doubt enraged expression and instead pushed Rylan ahead of me.
"What did I do to make him so angry?"
Rylan asked when the regent bellowed his name again. "I have no idea," I said, and pushed harder when I saw the door leading to the cargo hold.
"You cannot escape me,"
Siskorn shouted, as he took a flying leap off the back of the quarterdeck.
"You have already mocked me. Finish what you started, you no-faced bastard!"
"Rylan, below!" I barked, and I swung the boat hook like a Louisville slugger right at the regent's face.
"Ah!"
Siskorn wailed as the hook end of my weapon embedded itself in the regent's forearm when he tried to block my attack. Rylan screamed again, but he thundered down the stairs and away from the rampaging reptile man, which was the goal.
"Regent Siskorn!"
I tried to reason with an unpraised hand, now that my son was out of immediate harm's way.
"You're not feeling well. Remember how we talked about how Rylan is my kid?" "Don't be taken in for a fool, Brightwood,"
Siskorn snapped, as he tore the boat hook out of his flesh like it was merely a splinter despite the large spray of blood that accompanied the gesture. He then angled his head so he could fix me with his icy blue stare, and even though his good eye was the one he had trained on me, I could see how the other was coated in milky blindness and bracketed by a mostly healed scar across his eyebrow.
"What you think is your adopted son is really the notorious shapeshifter from the Wandering West. It is obviously Carvo Alder in disguise."
"What makes you say that?" I stalled, as I cast my gaze around for anything I could use as a weapon.
"Dal, Alder," he snorted. "Don't you see? Even the name is a disguise. But enough prevaricating. If we work together, we can both take revenge on the trickster responsible for deceiving us both."
"I don't know who you think Rylan is, Regent, but I'm telling you you're wrong," I said again in a measured voice as I slowly reached for the axe leaning up against a barrel of filler twine.
"It is you who is wrong, and if you won't stand aside, I will kill you,"
the dino man said, in a tone even colder than his reptile blood. "Then you'll have to kill me," I replied evenly. We stared at each other in a stalemate for a half a beat, while the wind and the rain grew worse around us. Then a clap of thunder was followed by a crack of lightning, and the tension snapped between us. I grabbed the axe at the same time as the regent lunged for me, and I threw it dead on so it buried itself in the man's left pec.
"Grrrr!"
Siskorn roared as he pulled the axe out of his chest and threw it aside.
"Shit!"
I cursed, as I readied my stance and breathed deeply to trigger my focus. The hard way it is, then. Tick. The Dino Man barreled at me full tilt again, and I sidestepped right as the world slowed a fraction. Tick. I dove under one of his rampaging haymakers and popped up on the other side where he'd thrown my boat hook.
Ah! Bastard!
Siskorn screamed, and then he course-corrected somewhat awkwardly. The biggest advantage against the Dino Man would be his cumbersome body, so if I could overbalance him enough, I could throw him off. I danced to the side and lashed Siskorn around his dominant knee, but I only received a broken boat hook for my trouble. This guy seemed to actually be built from a fucking mountain, so I needed something a little bigger than a toothpick in comparison. Wham! The Dino Man hurtled a box of hand tools and nailed me in the chest. The breath gusted out of me like I just took a bowling ball to the gut, and I tripped backwards over a coil of rope.
You are a fool!
Siskorn cried out, and he brandished a handsaw as the lightning flashed behind him like a crazy portrait of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
How can you not see you are being taken in and played?
Regent, you have ore madness! I screamed over the gale of the wind as I struggled to untangle my feet. The ropes were slick from the rain, and my cold fingers were becoming hard to operate. The Dino Man blinked at me as if I'd physically slapped him across the face, and I used the break in his homicidal rage to look for a tool near me I could cut the ropes with.
Do not speak of madness to me, he bellowed.
I spotted the discarded axe just as he aimed his grasping claws for my throat, and I snapped into my time trance in order to buy more time. Tick. Siskorn's footfalls fell onto the deck in half speed, and the droplets of water looked like they were rising in zero gravity. Tick. I reached back as far as I could for the axe just out of my reach. Tick. The insane regent's big foot slammed down on the rope, keeping me hostage, and my progress toward my weapon of salvation was impeded.
No!
I stretched so hard I felt my shoulder pop, but that extra pain was worth it because my fingers brushed the axe handle.
Ah, you wretched worm!
The regent lord collapsed to the side after I yanked the axe out of his kneecap and the deck thundered with his weight. Before he could get up again, I was using the axe to chop through the ropes binding my feet. Sounds of shouting and chaos could be heard further up the deck, but before I had a chance to prepare for what sounded like hell opening up, a boom from the ship's aft sail swung around, smacked me in the back of the head, and knocked my lights clean out. I didn't know how long I was out for, but when I woke up, I found myself under the pile of debris I must have tumbled into when I was unconscious. More shouting and yelling could be heard as several voices attempted to speak over the other, and I carefully crawled out of my hiding place so I could see what was going on. Near the center of the ship, several familiar faces were tied directly to the center mast, namely, my crew and the captain who were currently being held hostage by Nemus's mutinous crew. An older bearded lemur man with a tattered bandana was holding court on the quarter deck, and he was steering the soaring light directly into the endless storm with a chained Regent Siskorn at his feet.
Mr. Karens!
Nemus roared from his place tied next to Shay.
You're committing one of the worst acts of Lenian treason. Subsist at once, and Mercedes might have favor with you when she takes you in her ocean arms. Shut your face, old Nemus,
the lemur man shouted back, with a manic grin stretching his lips.
It's about time we took the ship into our own hands, you greedy scat-kicker, and then you let this trash on board.
Another one of the defectors kicked the regent in the ribs, and the bloodied Dino Man merely laughed through his gag.
Mr. Cadens, I am the second in line and the third holder of the power on Terra,
Ambassador Siskorn interjected from his tied-up position between Rylan and Zoe.
I can award you great many riches, far more than what you stole from my brother.
Wasn't stealing nothing he didn't deserve to get stolen, entitled scourge that he is!
Karen spat on Siskorn and grinned a brownish grin.
Bring the chest! No!
The Dino Man yelled through his gag. Fuck. I needed to do something, but I was pretty much useless without a weapon. So I scrounged around for anything I could use, and in the process I stepped on a leather boot that melted.
Meep!
Gelf looked up at me with her big eyes, and I stopped myself from kicking her in shock. "I'm sorry, girl," I whispered, and I extended my hand so she could weasel her way up to my shoulder. "Let's get closer." I took off my boots and set my sights on climbing the rigging so I could at least try to gain a bird's-eye view through the rain. When I was perched on a boom just above the quarterdeck, I paused to get my bearings.
"You don't want to do that!"
Anwar screamed as the lemur man's lackeys brought up the small chest I remembered seeing from before we loaded up the ship. They flipped the latches of the chest open, and Anwar screeched and shouted at them. Jenner and Amaya attempted to keep the mage quiet so as not to draw attention to herself, but it was too late, and Karen's jaundiced eyes pinned the Ibex woman in place as if she was a butterfly under glass.
"Don't I?"
Karen's asked, and ran his fingers over the top of the chest.
"I would listen to her,"
Horace said with a glimmer in his gold-green eyes.
"Blech!"
the mutinous lemur man scoffed. And before anyone could do anything, the lid of the chest was flipped open, and everyone was momentarily blinded by the flash of silver brilliance that came from inside.
"Close your eyes!"
I bellowed from above, as an unnameable fear gripped me, and I instinctively knew I had to avert my gaze if I didn't want to succumb to the same madness as Siskhorn. Screaming could be heard below me, and I dropped down on the deck, and then down to the mast where everyone was tied.
"Meep!"
Gelf screeched.
"Close your eyes!"
I screamed again, and I crashed against the mast between Rylan and Shay, but took particular care to cover my son's sight with my hand.
"He's right!"
Amaya yelled over the howling tempest as she slammed her eyes shut.
"Don't look at the silver ore! It's cursed!"
The howling grew exponentially louder, and the screams of Karens and the crew could be heard clashing with the shrieking tempest. The mingling of the two terrifying noises inspired the dual feeling in me that was just as afraid and yet tempted to look. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, or the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, I knew looking would be my undoing. Suddenly, the fury of wind and the screaming of the mutinous crew all died at once, and the sounds of splashing could be heard all around us.
"Alex!"
Shay whispered.
"What's that noise?"
I listened harder. And I first thought it was the lapping of the waves against the ship's bow. But the sound was off.
"Mercedes!" Captain Nemus breathed. "That's the sound of a man overboard if I've ever heard one! Many men!"
The splashes finally ceased, and all was silent.
"Meep!"
Gelf squeaked from above my head, and I chanced a glance. The sickly glow was gone along with the chest, and when I came closer to the quarterdeck, I could hear the sound of Siskhorn sobbing and muttering about the loss of his silver. "What happened to Karens?" I asked the Dino Man.
"Over! Over, over!"
He cackled like the crackpot he was.
"Just like the rest of them! Oh, my silver!" "Alex!"
Captain Nemus shouted.
"You must untie me! The crew was the least of our problems!"
"What are..." Huge cracks of lightning tore apart the maroon sky, and as I looked up, I saw how we had only found a short respite in the quickly moving eye of the endless storm, and now the rain and wind were starting to whip up again. The massive churning hurricane was at our doorstep.
"Holy fuck,"
I said. But before I could find something to cut the ropes tying everyone to the center mast, the soaring light heaved and bucked with the swelling waves. I would have been tossed clean overboard had it not been for Gelf grabbing the corner of my tunic and yanking me forward.
"Gelf, help with the ropes!"
Rylan yelled as I finally got my hands on a discarded cutlass.
"We have to get the captain free!"
The flying lizard jumped up to her task and began gnawing as hard as she could.
"Nemus, hold still!"
I said, and started sawing as fast as I could. Finally, the rope broke, and everyone tied to the mast was freed.
"All remain in hands on deck!"
the raccoon captain ordered as he leapt up to his rightful place at the wheel, and a few of the crew who didn't turn on him rallied like champions.
"We have to stay within the eye of the storm if we're to have any chance. All of you follow my orders to the pin, and we might just make it long enough to regroup. Go!"
What followed was a group effort led by the insane raccoon pirate as he steered us through an utterly terrifying hurricane. However, his instructions were clear, his authority unquestioned, and his confidence intact, which made him easy to listen to, and it wasn't long before we broke through the tempestuous barrier and into the sudden calm of the eye.
Just keep her steady now, Mr. Hervin, and keep turning her a quarter west every four lengths by my calculation, Nemus said a little while later as he handed the wheel off to his newly minted first mate, and then jumped down to join the rest of us motley crew on deck.
We have bought us some time for now. As long as we stay here, we can take as much time to regroup as we need. Getting out is another matter entirely, but one we will resolve together as a team. Is that understood?
Even though he was specifically talking to the remnants of his original crew, my friends and I added our own hearty yes sirs to the mix.
Captain, I will remand the regent to the brig indefinitely, the ambassador said, as he hauled his bound, gagged, and unconscious brother over his shoulder.
Righto, Nemus said. We'll need to set up a rotation to guard him.
Add me to that, I said.
And me.
Zoe stopped pulling in one of the sails and sauntered up.
Well, you might as well add all of us in some fashion, Horace said, as he continued to add broken pieces of scrap wood to an ever-growing pile. There's no way we're letting him run amok on this ship again.
Your help is necessary and very much appreciated, Captain Nemus said,
and this time when he removed his hat to place it over his heart, it seemed sincere instead of theatrical.
Alex Brightwood, I owe you my life, and the lives of the rest of my crew.
And my crew and I owe you ours, I said, and held out my hand so we could clasp forearms.
Honored, my friend, honored,
the raccoon man smiled, as his eyes filled with moisture. Then, with one last squeeze of my wrist, the captain turned back around and started rattling off orders to a few of his deckhands as he jumped back up to the quarterdeck.
Dad?
Rylan asked, and he leaned on his mop handle while Gelf picked through his hair for stuff.
How long are we going to be on this ship?
I'm not sure, kiddo, I said, but I pulled his signet ring out of my pocket and flicked it toward him with my thumb. He caught it in midair and smiled as he put it back on his rightful finger.
No matter what, we're all okay,
Shay said as she breezed into the conversation with a jug of water and handed it to me while she checked some of the cuts on my arms and face.
That's the main thing.
Okay is debatable,
Jenner grumbled as he sat on a barrel next to Amaya and shook out his sodden notebook.
Alive is more like it.
I'll take alive, I said as I hunkered down on a folded pile of torn canvas right below where the Oryx woman was darning another sail. When I leaned back against her knees, she passed her sail over to Anwar and started to trail her fingers through my wind-tangled locks. Sure, we were essentially trapped in the center of an endless hurricane with only half a crew, a madman, and a vessel that was just a little worse for wear. But the sun was casting her radiant glow. The breeze was mild, and I had a beautiful woman playing with my hair. For now, it was all I needed.
It really is a good day,
Amaya said, and I looked up at her haloed form, and then at everyone gathered around. Yeah, I said, as I took a swallow of cool and clean water.
It is.
The rest would come. End of Book 4.